Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Tuesday, April 29th, and it is time to study the daily lectionary. Our guest pastor joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend Joel Fritchie from Zion Lutheran Church in Staunton, Illinois. Good morning, Pastor Fritchie. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good morning to you.
Good morning. So you finally emerged from the basement after all those storms.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Talk about a little bit scary. Kids were scared. Dogs were scared. But thankfully, we were spared any tornadoes, any kind of destruction. Just had to hole up in safety for a little while.
Wow. Well, we are grateful for your safety and certainly are lifting up in prayer those who were affected seriously by the storms yesterday.
Absolutely.
All of our friends in Arkansas and in the South that are still dealing with that and recovering from that. Well, tell us a little bit about Zion Lutheran Church in Staunton, Illinois.
Zion is a congregation with a rich history, founded the same year as the Missouri Synod itself, and just a long history of proclaiming the gospel in this community, just a little bit north of St. Louis on the Illinois side of the river, just outside the Metro East, and a rich tradition, too, of Lutheran education. We've had a school for almost as long as the church has been in operation, and just a great place to be. Wonderful community, small community, and I've been here about just under 5 years now.
Well, wonderful, and what a joy it is to get to serve. I believe we're in the same district. We're not in the same circuit, though. I believe
right.
Same area, though. So a joy to get to serve with you, and had the privilege of having your lovely family on Faith and Family this past year. And what a great conversation that is. We'll have to re-air that story again as well. By the way, how is your lovely family? How are your lovely bride and all the boys?
Oh, they're doing very well. Very anxious for the end of the school year.
Now, would that be mom who's the teacher or the boys who are the students?
Yes.
Well, today we are studying Luke chapter 4, verses 31 through 44. Pastor, any background on the text you'd like to give us before we jump in?
Well, we heard a little bit of the context in yesterday's reading, what happened immediately prior to what Luke writes here, starting at verse 31. Jesus had been in Nazareth, his hometown. And he had been in the synagogue. Seems to be kind of his pattern that he's setting. He goes into the synagogue to preach. So in Nazareth, he had been in the synagogue, and that's where he was reading from Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, set at liberty those who are oppressed, and all that." And now, and that was in his hometown, of course, and his hometown crowd really wasn't very receptive to his message. And they're up on the brow of the hill of the town, and they're ready to throw him off the cliff, but his hour had not yet come, and so he passed through their midst and went away. But now he heads over to Capernaum, where he had been before, and again, goes there into the synagogue to teach. And what we find here in where Luke continues the story is that what Jesus proclaimed is fulfilled in him from Isaiah the prophet, about proclaiming the good news to the poor, setting the captives free, giving sight to the blind, now begins to take place right away here in his ministry. So that's what we're going to see here in our text for today.
Well, I'd like to invite our listeners, if you have questions as well, you can join us 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. Or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. If you have questions as we're studying the daily lectionary today, feel free to give us a call or an email. We'd be glad to take some questions as we dig in. Shall I read through this first paragraph, or do you want to break it up even smaller than that?
No, go ahead. We can go with the first paragraph.
All right. We are in Luke chapter 4, verses 31 and following. "And he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. And in the synagogue there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, 'Ah, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, but the Holy One of God. I know you are who you are, the Holy One of God.' But Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Be silent and come out of him.' And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed and said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And reports about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. Let's pause there.
Okay.
So we have Jesus going down into Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority.
Yeah, how about that? He continues this pattern of teaching on the Sabbath in the synagogue, where the people are gathered. This is part of his Galilean ministry. With his teaching, with his preaching, he begins to fulfill what he said earlier when he was in Nazareth, fulfilling Isaiah's prophecy. He's here to preach. He's here to teach. He's here to do miracles, which we see in this text. In the synagogue, there's the man that has the unclean spirit, or the spirit of an unclean demon, crying out with a loud voice. And, impossible not to notice him, the crowd of the synagogue certainly makes a scene. But, let me back up for a second before that, before I get to that verse. The important thing that Luke points us to in verse 32 is, how astonished the people were. They were amazed, word that's used a few times in the Gospels in reaction to Jesus' teaching. They were amazed, for his word possessed authority. They recognized something different about Jesus and his teaching, as opposed to the rabbis and teachers of law and such. Something that just caught their attention, right away from the start. Jesus' word has authority. His teaching comes with authority. So that's pretty amazing to them.
Just that word authority, it carries so much with it. In our culture today, authority, I don't know if it maybe comes out of the 60s and the 70s, but the word authority kind of carries, in our culture today, I think it sometimes carries a negative connotation.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it carries a negative connotation often. But really, in the New Testament, it's a gospel word. Mm-hmm. The Father has given authority to his Son, Jesus says, numerous times in his teaching, authority to lay down his life and take it up again. Later at the end of his ministry, after the resurrection, kind of where we're at now in the church here, pretty soon Jesus already has given that authority to his disciples, or then turned apostles, to go out and forgive and retain sin. Then just before he ascends into heaven, the passage from Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, and he commissions his disciples to go out and make disciples by baptizing and teaching. So, when Jesus uses it, it's a good word. It's something bestowed on him from the Father that he then bestows on his apostles to carry out the ministry of which he came to do, to forgive sins, to make disciples and such. So it's a good word.
So you're right. It's a good word. We just need to learn the language, the vocabulary of the scriptures, and understand it properly in context.
Even in the fourth commandment, it's a good word because God places authority over us for our good. God has a good purpose and authority. Now, I suppose any negative connotations that, any negative associations with the word are really a result of our sinfulness, that kind of thing. But the authority that God places on parents, on government, whatever it may be, is intended for our good. So, it's a good word.
You bring up a good point. Any negative connotation associated with the word is directly related to our abuse of the gift of authority, and misuse and misunderstanding of authority.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Usurping authority. That's the phrase I was looking for. So verse 33 and following, and in the synagogue, there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, "Ha, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God."
Yeah. How about that? the demon, interesting, recognizes right away who Jesus is. And of course, too, he speaks in the plural. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. So yeah, he speaks in the plural, as if, speaking on behalf of all the demons, or maybe there's more than one, or whatever it may be. But yeah, he recognizes right away who Jesus is. Jesus of Nazareth, first of all. But then beyond that, I know who you are. I know who Jesus of Nazareth really is. You're the Holy One of God. And now he moves into messianic language there. He knows Jesus' divine identity. Maybe perhaps he's trying to exert authority or control over Jesus, but he's got another thing coming.
Now, I have to ask, Greek is not my strength here, but in verse 34, there's this exclamation at the beginning. In one translation I'm reading, the ESV says, "Ha." Another one, another translation, God's Word says, "Oh, no!" exclamation. What is the, do you know anything about this exclamation, this word here? I don't know if it's really significant or not. I just found it interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's just more of a exclamatory word, like we say "ah." I don't think a literal translation is of like "oh no" is textually correct. I tend to go with it more like we use the word "ah" because the word in Greek is really similar. It's "ah," and it's so, more of like a cry out or something like that, just a general exclamatory word. But maybe, maybe he is afraid. The sense of "oh no."
Uh-oh.
Or "uh-oh." yeah. Is proper. I don't know.
I just thought it was interesting. It's not something that I see frequently in Scripture, so I had to ask. So we have this man with an unclean demon. He cries out in a loud voice, "What do you have to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" So he certainly knows, as you said, he's pointing to the Messiah here speaking at least in a messianic way. "Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed and said to one another, "What is this word? For the authority and power he commands the unclean. For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And reports about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. So here, after the demon comes out, the response of the people is what we have here.
Yeah, and so again, this is their second response, first to his teaching, now to, casting out a demon. And again, it's Jesus, exercising his authority. It's Jesus doing what Isaiah prophesied that he'd do, coming to release the captives. This demon possession is part of a manifestation of the bondage of our world and humanity in sin, and Jesus comes to set him free, and the people are there to witness this. First, they witness his teaching, they recognize that his word has authority, and now they see him with just words, same authoritative words, cast out a demon. And so, yeah, their reaction, again, amazement. They were all amazed, and the demon comes out and everything, and I guess the man is okay. It says having done him no harm, they're all amazed. They react, "What is this word?" Again, focus on the word of Jesus, the same word by which he taught, the same word now which he casts out a demon, and they recognize this authority and this power, and they're saying, "Where? Who is this guy? Where did it come from?"
And anyone who is a parent would recognize authority just when he said, "Be silent."
Yeah.
And there was silence.
Yeah, I can't even get my kids to be quiet when I say, "Be quiet."
And so the demon comes out of him at his command, and then reports about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. Word started spreading pretty quickly, and they didn't even have KFUO at that time.
Yeah, word travels quickly, and word gets out very quickly. He had been in Capernaum before, I think, so some had heard about him, but now, after this, in the synagogue where all the people are gathered on the Sabbath, everybody's going to go home talking about this, naturally, of what happened. They're quite amazed about it, and so, they're going to go around and share with everybody else about what happened. So word spreads quickly. I mean, it doesn't take long for things to go out by word of mouth, that's for sure.
We are studying the Daily Lectionary, Luke chapter 4, verses 31 through 44 today with Pastor Joel Fritchie from Zion Lutheran Church in Staunton, Illinois. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue studying the text. If you have questions, give us a call, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. Or you can email us your questions, kfuo@kfuo.org. We're glad to take those questions as we're studying Luke chapter 4 this morning with Pastor Fritchie right here on his time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. Hi, I'm Andy Bates. Join me for the next Faith and Family, where we'll talk with experts and everyday people about topics pertinent to faithful family life. Listen to Faith and Family Live weekdays at 11 on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news, underwritten by Concordia University, Wisconsin.
As violence spreads in advance of this week's election in Iraq, the vicar of Baghdad's St. George's Anglican Church is in the U.S. to receive the annual William Wilberforce Award, presented by the Chuck Colson Center for Christian Worldview. But Canon Andrew White says his heart is with the Iraqi people he's come to love.
Here I am in America at the moment, and I'm just thinking, I want to be back with my people.
White says Baghdad is one of the most dangerous places on earth, but perfect love casts out fear. The Wilberforce Award is named for the 19th century British statesman whose Christian commitment led to the abolition of the slave trade. Canon Andrew White, who has worked to bring Iraqis together to end sectarian violence, says,
if religion gone wrong is the cause of so much violence, religion gone right has to be the cure.
I'm Steve Coleman.
Have you ever missed a live broadcast of one of your favorite KFUO programs? Well, let me propose a convenient solution for you. Visit the KFUO website, kfuo.org, and download your favorite program by way of podcast to your iPhone or other smart device. It's easy, it's simple, it's convenient, and you'll never miss another program. KFUO, the official voice of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, is the messenger of good news by way of radio, web, and podcast.
Welcome back to His Time. We are studying the Daily Lectionary with Pastor Joel Fritchie from Zion Lutheran Church in Staunton, Illinois. We're in Luke chapter 4, verses 31 through 44. Give us a call or an email if you have questions, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727 or kfuo@kfuo.org. Pastor Fritchie, any other comments on up through verse 37 before we press on to the next section?
Not really. It's going to continue in this next section, more of what, we've seen happening, more manifestations of Jesus being the one that Isaiah prophesied to set the captives free and the like. So that's going to continue on in when he goes into Peter's house.
All right. Here we go, Luke chapter 4, verse 38. And he arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and began to serve them. Shall we pause there?
Sure. Okay, so from the synagogue now, Jesus goes and he goes to Simon Peter's house. And Simon's mother-in-law is there. She's ill with a high fever. We don't know exactly, you know, what that disease might have been or, you know, what it was, but, you know, maybe, well, who knows, to guess. But she had a high fever. She was sick. And all those who were gathered there appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over and he rebuked the fever. So that word rebuked was actually used in the section above, too. We didn't talk about it before, but we could talk about it now for a minute. That's the same word that was used in the previous paragraph when Jesus spoke to the demon. He rebuked him when before he said, "Be silent, come out of him." He rebuked him, and now he rebukes the fever. Interesting, you know, and he'll use it again in the next paragraph that we're going to come to. He rebukes, you know, the demons. And, you know, that's part of his messianic work that he's doing. He's, whether it's the demons that possess people or it's the sicknesses that afflict us, whatever it may be, whatever manifestation of sin it may be, you know, Jesus with a word can rebuke it, can take care of it, and just like the demons, send them back and they're gone. So how about that? So he rebukes not only the demons, but here he rebukes the fever, he rebukes the sickness, and it left her. So Jesus speaks, Jesus uses his word of authority, and whatever it may be, a demon or a sickness, it's gone.
And do I understand this correctly? As soon as it's gone, she gets up and starts preparing for them a meal. She's making dinner for them.
Yeah, how about that? I like that part. It's kind of a nice you know nice pattern too of Jesus doing his work, his messianic work. He serves his people, and then in turn, his people serve him or serve others. You know, how about that? A nice little pattern there of Jesus, you know, who came not to be served but to serve. And so Jesus serves us just like he serves us in church, in the divine service. He gives us his gifts, and then we go out and we serve others.
Well, and just thinking, you know, she's got a fever.
Yeah.
She's sick. Anytime that you're sick with a fever, maybe take medicine.
You don't feel like doing anything.
Yeah. And even once you're over, you know, once the fever's gone, you still don't feel like doing anything immediately.
Yeah.
This is just a
so she's so
totally
healthy
different.
Now, you know, she's so healthy that she's, you know, get up and cook or, you know, put a meal together, whatever she needs to do to serve them. So, yeah, that's just how that sickness is gone. I mean, the after effects gone. So she's up and working.
Now, verse 40. Now, when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with them, with various diseases, brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew that he was the Christ.
All right. So, yeah, now that the sun is setting, the Sabbath is coming to an end. The Sabbath is over. And, you know, word had spread about Jesus throughout all the surrounding region. And so now there's a response to that. Everybody finds out that this teacher with authority is there. He casts out demons. And so now they're bringing anybody and everybody who's sick with various diseases. Jesus, now this time he lays hands on them and heals them. So not just his word that bears authority, but even his touch itself is powerful. Jesus lays hands on them and the sicknesses are gone, every one of them, however many, you know, there were, every one of them, and they're now healed.
They cry out, "You are the Son of God," but
yeah,
he rebukes
another
them.
Another messianic confession here from the demons. The other demon had said, "You are the Holy One of God." Now this demon, "You are the Son of God." And so, yeah, these are messianic titles. Jesus is recognized. And he was to be recognized, too, by the things that he did, by these signs, these miracles, and things like that. But interesting, you know, the demons know exactly who he is.
The next sentence says, but he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew that he was the Christ.
Yeah. Now, this is the first time that he's referred to as the Christ after his baptism. And, so he rebukes them for calling him the Christ. That's a pretty interesting statement there.
Yeah. Why would he rebuke them for calling him the Christ?
Maybe because they would somehow, you know, misrepresent him and distort the nature of his mission. That's what the Lutheran Study Bible says. You know, that the devil is the father of lies, and so, you know, they certainly would, as they recognize who he is, they don't want people to know, you know, the truth about him, why he really came and what he came to do. And so he rebukes them. He silences them once again.
So a liar is a liar, no matter what, when it comes to demons, and you can't trust them. And so he just squelches that right away.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, that makes sense then. I was just didn't catch that at first. That makes sense, though.
Yeah.
Anything else on the previous verses up through verse 41 there?
Nope.
All right.
We can move on.
Okay. Verse 42. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. And the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea.
Yeah, so he continues on. He keeps moving on. He departs and goes to this desolate place, wherever, you know, that may be. But obviously the people are still, you know, following after him. The people are who have seen him heal, who have seen him cast out demons. The people who, you know, they want to see more, and so they follow him. And it says they would have kept him from leaving them, but he said, "I must preach the good news." You know, so Jesus, I must preach it to the other towns as well. So, you know, it's Jesus doesn't just stay in one place. Jesus keeps on moving throughout Galilee, down into Judea, and all the regions, because this is, you know, what he was sent for. He was sent for the lost sheep of Israel. And so he's going to go to all the surrounding regions. He's going to go to the synagogues of Judea, and he's going to, you know, do what he's done here. Now, not everywhere is he going to be met with, you know, quite the reception that he's been met here. We're still, you know, fairly early on in his ministry at this point yet, and there's really no major opposition, you know, among the Jews to him yet. I'm sure they're watching him, but you know, no organized opposition as of yet to what Jesus has been doing and what he's saying and teaching, and that's going to certainly come not too long from now.
And the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well.
Yeah. For well, I want to keep him around, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like after the feeding of the 5,000, you know, they want to force him to be king. Mm-hmm. You know, they want this guy that does these great miraculous works they don't want him to go. They want him to be around. That's, you know, certainly humanly understandable. Yeah.
We're studying the Daily Lectionary today with Pastor Joel Fritchie from Zion Lutheran Church in Staunton, Illinois. We're in Luke chapter 4, 31 through 44. If you have questions, give us a call, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727 or email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. And let's go to the phones now. Let's go to Mike in St. Louis. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, how you doing today?
Great. What's your question this morning, Mike?
Why would he want to be silent the demons about revealing that he's the Messiah? Well, I was thinking maybe the clue could be like an Acts of the Apostles. Remember that slave girl who had the divining spirit? She kept following Paul, and she kept saying that he teaches a way of salvation. And, of course, Paul didn't want to do the exorcism because he figured that her masters would kill him for doing it, which they almost did. And I was thinking, so they probably, by revealing that he's a Messiah, they probably had a diabolical purpose, just like they did with Paul, forcing him to do an exorcism on that slave girl with a divining spirit. What do you think?
Your thoughts, Pastor Fritchie?
Yeah,
thanks, Mike.
I'd say a diabolical purpose is definitely the case. As we said earlier, these guys are demons. They're liars. They know what Jesus has come to do, and so I'm sure some diabolical purpose, some terrible thing they're cooking up, and so Jesus just silences them, doesn't even let them get a word out.
Well, thanks for your call today, Mike. Pastor, other thoughts on this text, just 42 through 44? He says, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." So they want him to stay there, but he says, "I've got to move on."
Yeah, got to move on. I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God. You know, in Jesus, the kingdom of God has come, and that's really the big deal. The signs and miracles testify to the fact that the Messiah, the one promised of old, is now among them. The demons recognize it. Of course, the question then becomes, will the people recognize who is truly among them? Some will, many won't. So that's where we look, ahead now, beyond this chapter to what comes afterwards. Jesus has begun his messianic work. He was baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, thrust out into the wilderness to be tempted, sent the devil packing, and now here he is going about the work that the Lord anointed him to do, preaching, teaching, healing, and casting out demons. And then, of course, the biggest thing, heading to the cross. But that's a ways down the road yet.
Your thoughts overall on today's text as we look at verses 31 through 44. You've talked about setting captives free. Just looking at this overall text today, we can certainly understand the history of it. What does this mean?
Well, setting captives free, we're all enslaved by sin. Anyone who sins is a slave to sin, Jesus told the Jews in John 8. Sin holds us captive. And the original sin within us, the actual sins we commit, whether it's the effects of sin, like we see in this text, demon possession or sickness or things like that, these are the things that hold us captive. These are the things that bind us, and Jesus comes to set the captives free. And really, these healings and the word that he speaks, with authority, is just the beginning of setting the captives free. Jesus is really going to set the captives free by going, to Calvary, going to the cross, by dying for humanity's sin, by taking that sin upon himself. And that's where he really, really wins release for us, freedom for the captives. And, that's why later on then he, like we said when we began today, with that same authority, he places it, gives it to the apostles so that they can go forth and set free the captives in his name, carry out that same ministry. This is just the beginning here of something really huge that'll culminate at the cross, and then as Jesus sends out his apostles to preach repentance for the forgiveness of sins.
So, looking at this text, this certainly is about this shows that Jesus has authority to heal us, to forgive our sins, to make us whole.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at the casting out of demons and the healing here, someone might ask, does that still happen today? Casting out of demons or healing someone miraculously who has a fever or who is dying, does that still happen today? Is that what this text is about?
I wouldn't say it doesn't happen, but I would say that shouldn't be. Don't let that distract us from the big picture. Of course, Jesus is still casting out demons today. Jesus is still healing today. Maybe perhaps not in as miraculously flashy ways, but maybe in more ordinary ways. If we look at healing, for instance, Jesus is still bringing about healings, but he does it through means. He does it through in ordinary ways, through doctors and medical professionals and things. He's bringing about healing. But then, in terms of casting out demons and setting us free in that respect, that's what happens every time, somebody's baptized.
Mm-hmm.
Every time that water is sprinkled on the forehead or water is applied in whatever way, in the name of the triune God, God's word and promise is there. And, the demons are sent back and Satan and his legions are kicked out. And the Holy Spirit enters in. And, Luther himself had that little exorcism rite in his baptismal rite, nothing overly dramatic, just depart ye unclean spirit, make room for the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe not in as miraculously flashy, I'll use that kind of terminology, way today. I certainly wouldn't say that it can't happen and doesn't happen that way, but maybe more common today is to look in those ordinary ways where the Word of God is at work, like in baptism. And people are set free from sin, death, and the devil and made children of God.
So the emphasis, the more important emphasis, is not necessarily on the physical healing, but on the healing that, as you said, that brings us freedom from sin.
Yeah, and whether, if someone's sick today or has a terrible disease, we may, pray and pray and pray for healing, and the Lord in His almighty providence may not grant that healing at this very moment or even in this person's lifetime. The disease or sickness, the cancer, whatever it may be, their body may succumb to it, but we know that there's a greater healing, promise for us, and that's the great thing about Easter, the season that we're in now. Just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too will be raised, and we know that healing will come when Jesus comes again, raises us up in glorified bodies, that sin and death and none of that can touch us ever again.
Amen. Well, we've been studying the Daily Lectionary, Luke chapter 4, verses 31 through 44 today with Pastor Joel Fritchie from Zion Lutheran Church in Staunton, Illinois. Pastor Fritchie, thanks so much for being our guest pastor on His Time today.
Hey, great to be with you. Have a good day.
Thank you. You as well. Blessings to all the saints there at Zion. Coming up in a little bit, we'll join together for morning prayer. But before that, we'll enjoy some sacred music. So stick around for more His Time right here on listener-supported worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.